RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesia, Sweden agree the cooperation of the air transportation sector. Dompet Duafa holds Tarhib Ramadan, 1438 Hijriah. Indonesian President Joko Widodo confident S&P rating upgrade will boost investment. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo received the visit of Swedish King Carl XVI Gustaf and Queen Silvia at Bogor Palace on Monday, May 22nd. King and Queen of Sweden visited Indonesia on May 22nd to 24th, 2017, and will visit three cities, namely Jakarta, Bogor, and Bandung. King Carl XVI Gustaf and Queen Silvia were greeted with cannon fire and state welcome ceremony. At the Bogor Palace, President Joko Widodo and First Lady accompanied the King and Queen of Sweden to see a replica of the Hand of God statue made by Swedish sculptor Carl Miles as a gift from the Swedish government to the Indonesian government in 1957. The two heads of state also witnessed the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding or MOU on transportation cooperation, including air navigation and airport. President Joko Widodo in the meeting presented the Republic of Indonesia Adipura Star to King Carl Gustaf, while the King of Sweden conferred the Order of Seraphim Award to President Joko Widodo. In the delegations of the Swedish King and Queen were also accompanied by Infrastructure Minister Anna Johansson and businessmen from 31 companies. In the spirit of welcoming the holy month of Ramadan 1438 Hijriah, Dompet Duafa held a Ramadan Tarhib event on Sunday, May 21st. In the morning, the activities of welcoming Ramadan was filled by Car Free Day event, along with Dompet Duafa volunteers such as Long March and traditional appearance around Jalan Sudirman Central, Jakarta. While on the afternoon, this event was followed by the healthy service activity, mobile phone service, and motorcycle service for free of charge, as well as Ketoprak Sunan Kalijaga Javanese performance at Rumah Budaya Nusantara Puspo Budoyo, South Tangerang. President Director of Dompet Duafa, Dr. Gigi Imam Ruliawan, said the Tarhib's activity was aimed to introduce the importance of zakat, especially for the change of the Indonesian people and reducing poverty. In addition, he said that the event also brings the mission to the community to implement the essence of Sunan Kalijaga teaching in preacting Islam in line with the culture through eradication in the field of economy, health, cultural education, faith and pity so that we can grow as a sovereign nation.
Acara ini adalah membawa misi untuk mengajak para stakeholder, kepada masyarakat, kepada elemen bangsa, bahwa
This event brings mission to invite stakeholders, community, elements of the nation to understand and then implement the teachings of Sunan Kalijaga. When Sunan Kalijaga preaching through culture, food sovereignty will be realized. By returning to culture, taking the essence of Sunan Kalijaga teachings, we surely will eradicate poverty in the field of economy, health, education, culture, and faith. The cultural field becomes the entrance to break up the disturbance in the poverty cycle. By understanding 3N, Niteni or observing, Niroke or emulate, then Nambahi or to add, Dakwah through culture is to add and to complete so that our nation becomes a sovereign nation. Imam Ruliawan added, Dompet Duafa as a social institution want to serve, empower and defend the poor through cultural approaches. Hopefully, people can realize that today is part of a long step to return the Indonesian people, especially the Islamic dakwah Ramadan lil Alamin, by using cultural approach. Meanwhile, founder of Dompet Duafa, Parni Hadi, said that as an institution that transforms the values of goodness, Dompet Duafa invites all elements to realize the revival of Mokopatan arts. This event is a collaboration between Dompet Duafa and a number of elements including Pustaka Iman and Rumah Budaya Nusantara Puspo Budoyo in cooperation with a number of Muslim scholars and humanists in Indonesia. The event was concluded with the launch of a book entitled Islam Mencintai Nusantara, Jalan Dakwah Sunan Kalijaga or Islam Loves Archipelago, Dakwah of Sunan Kalijaga, which was written by B. Wiwoho. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has appreciated ratings agency Standard & Poor's or S&P for raising Indonesia credit rating last weekend. He said that the upgrade is a proof that Indonesia's economy has gained more trust, which will boost investment. The president recently said in Jakarta that it shows that Indonesia's financial management is getting better, ease of doing business has improved as well. According to S&P, the upgrade was based on reduced fiscal risk in line with a more realistic budgeting policy. According to S&P, the government budget could limit possible deterioration in fiscal deficit and reduce the risk of increased debts to gross domestic product or GDP ratio. S&P also foresees improved state revenue is a result of the tax amnesty program and more controlled fiscal expenditure. The president also said more investment would create new jobs. He said that it has resulted in declining government debt, allowing more fiscal space. The president also sees that the upgrade in credit rating reflects improving political and security situations in Indonesia. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism aims to develop digital tourism and village homestays as well as reform the industry to become Indonesia's leading sector and economic core, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said on Saturday, May 20th. During a celebrations of National Awakening Day, which takes place on May 20 every year, Arief said the national awakening needs to involve tourism as well. Arief said that Indonesia has to become the world's best in digital tourism and village homestays. Tourism must become the core of the country's economy and a leading sector. The Indonesia Tourism Exchange or ITX platform has been the forefront of the ministry's effort to improve digital tourism. Indonesian Tourism Ministry has also set a target to establish 20,000 homestays in Indonesia, which is in line with the national target of attracting 20 million foreign tourists annually by 2019. Arief also said that the village homestays will be the solution to meet an increasing number of foreign tourists. Arief said the ministry's ambition to transform tourism into the country's economic core is possible because the industry contributes to gross domestic product, bring in foreign exchange and creates employment. Indonesian Trade Ministry has called for food stability task forces operating in the regions to take strict action against the hoarding of staple foods that may occur ahead of the Ramadan fasting month. The Trade Ministry's Director General for Domestic Trade, Cahya Widayanti, said on Sunday, May 21st in Serang, Banten, that when prices of staple foods exceed the levels set by the government, such as 12,500 rupiah or 94 US cents for sugar, the task force should track the source of the supply. She stated, if the price increase occurs at the distributors, the ministry will check whether they are registered. Under a trade ministerial decree, distributors of staple foods, along with their warehouses, must be registered and report their stocks to the government on the 15th day of each month. Based on the ministry inspections of the market, along with other traditional markets, warehouses run by state-owned logistics firm Bulog, distributors, and modernly tailors in Serang, the prices of several food commodities such as eggs, chicken and bird's eye, chilies, have exceeded the retail price ceiling set by the government. However, some others such as rice, sugar, cooking oil and beef are still being sold at regular prices as their supply is stable. A power generating vessel ordered by the state-owned utility company PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara, or PLN, with a capacity of 240 megawatts, has arrived in Belawan, North Sumatra. The Marine Vessel Power Plants, or MVPP, Onur Sultan from Turkey, berthed at the quay of the Combined Cycle Power Plant, or PLTGU, of Belawan on Sunday, May 21st. PLN has ordered the MVPP to increase power supply in northern Sumatra, which has suffered the inconvenience of frequent blackout, including in the North Sumatra provincial city of Medan. PLN's business director for Sumatra, Amir Rosidin, said that the leasing of the facility is the fastest way of coping with shortage in power supply while we are building a permanent power plant. It would officially commission in the second week of June 2017. The additional capacity of 240 megawatts from the MVPP would bring the total power supplying capacity in northern Sumatra to 2,287 megawatts with peak load at 2,075 megawatts. PLN already leased earlier a number of other units of MVPP from Turkey to operate in other regions such as North Sulawesi and Nusa Tenggara. The last item, winners of the Morotai Underwater Photo Contest held in Morotai, North Maluku last week were announced on Sunday, May 21st. The contest is aimed to promote the area's underwater beauty and attract marine tourists. 9 winners were chosen from 20 entries in 3 categories, with participants from Jakarta, Bali, Manado, North Sulawesi, and Ternate, North Maluku. In the digital single lens reflect camera category, the winners are Agustiar Hamdani, Henry Darmoto Berry, and Syarifuddin Koroy. Aryawan Usman, Dedi Abdullah, and Jonathan Tamrin were selected as the winner of the category for compact cameras equipped with macro zoom lenses. Surya Alamsyah, Iqbal Abdullah, and Sudirman won the category for compact cameras with wide-angle lenses. Esti Reko Astuti, Deputy for Tourism Development at Indonesia Ministry of Tourism, praised the entries. She said in a statement that the photos are amazing and have the potential to help Morotai's underwater beauty gain global recognition. As one of the Tourism Ministry's 10 priority destinations, Morotai continues to receive special attention in terms of development. Flights currently have the capacity to carry up 180 passengers. The Morotai local government also signed an agreement with low-cost carrier CityLink earlier this year to increase the number of homestays and resorts in the area. Listener, that was the news. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan. Takashi Kawai from Japan. Akio Uemura from Japan. Prithviraj Purkayastha from India. Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India. Adita Pritika Subramanian from India. Titong Yang from China. Gong Lei from China. Chao Yanping from China. And Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today, entitling National Awakening, a reflection for Indonesia's unity. Every May 20th, Indonesian people commemorate National Awakening Day, that was the establishment of Budi Utomo Organization in 1908. At first, Budi Utomo only engaged in education, culture, and social aspects. The organization was founded by Dr. Sutomo and the students at the Dutch medical school Stovia, or School Tot Opleiding van Inland Artsen. And then it became the forerunner of a movement aimed at achieving Indonesian independence. Long before Budi Utomo was established, during the Dutch East Indies colonizations until 1908, the struggle of the Indonesian nation to expel the invaders was still regional. Figures such as Imam Bonjol, Cut Nyak Dien, Prince Diponegoro, and Patimura fought separately in their respective regions. They were unable to defeat the colonization, which had power, especially better weaponry. They were not able to make the Indonesia's independence into reality. On May 20, 1908, Budi Utomo was established. In addition to engaging in education, Budi Utomo also used a new way in the struggle of the Indonesian nation to achieve independence through political movement. The National Awakening is the rise of the spirit of nationalism, unity, and consciousness as a nation to advance itself through a movement that has not previously emerged during the colonialism. 40 years after the establishment of Budi Utomo, or 3 years after Indonesia declared its independence, precisely in 1948, the first Indonesian president, Sukarno, declared May 20th as the National Awakening Day. The reason was because at the beginning of Indonesian independence, the country needed a unifying tool. Sukarno considered that the birth of Budi Utomo was the right symbol to illustrate how the Indonesian nation began to rise up and unite to fight against the occupation. Now 109 years have passed since the establishment of Budi Utomo, which became the pioneer of the struggle and the symbol of unity for the Indonesian nation. The National Awakening Day should not only be celebrated by holding rituals and ceremonies. The Indonesian people must understand the importance of unity, especially at the present, when the symptoms of disintegration start to arise due to discrimination of ethnicity, religions, and race, as well as majority and minority issues. Don't let the Indonesian people be apart, as happened before the independence era. Unity will make the country and the nation strong. On the contrary, disunity
will make it weak and easily influence or even colonize, at least politically, economically, and culturally, by foreigners. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on May 22, 1906, when the Wright brothers received a patent for their method of flight control. The Wright brothers' patent war centers on the patents they received for their methods of an airplane's flight control. The Wright brothers were two Americans who are widely credited with inventing and building the world's first flyable airplane and making the first controlled, powered, and sustained heavier-than-air human flight on December 17, 1903. In 1906, the Wrights received a patent for their methods of flight control, which they fiercely defended for years after suing foreign and domestic aviators and companies, especially another U.S. aviation pioneer, Glenn Curtiss, in an attempt to collect licensing fees. The patent war purportedly stalled development of the U.S. aviation industry. This claim has been disputed in research, which asserts that before World War I, aircraft manufacturers faced no patents barriers. After the war began, the U.S. government pressured the aviation industry to form an organization to share patents. Next, in 1960, when Valdivia earthquake occurred, the 1960 Valdivia earthquake, or Great Chilean Earthquake of 22nd of May, is the most powerful earthquake ever recorded. Various studies have placed it at 9.4 to 9.6 on the moment magnitude scale. It occurred in the afternoon and lasted approximately 10 minutes. The resulting tsunami affected southern Chile, Hawaii, Japan, the Philippines, eastern New Zealand, southeast Australia, and the Aleutian Island. The death toll and monetary losses arising from this widespread disaster are not certain. Various estimates of the total number of fatalities from the earthquake and tsunamis have been published, ranging between 1,000 and 6,000 killed. Different sources have estimated the monetary cost range from $400 million to $800 million. The last event was in 2010 when Ainun Habibie passed away. Hasri Ainun Habibie was the First Lady of Indonesia from 1998 until 1999 and wife of former President B.J. Habibie. Ainun first met Rudy Habibie when they were studying in secondary school. They were schoolmates when studying in Dago Christian Junior College. Their families had known each other for a long time and often visited each other. Their first child was Ilham Akbar Habibie and youngest child Tariq Kemal. When President Suharto resigned, his position as president gave it up to Habibie. Ainun thus became First Lady. In 2010, Ainun entered Ludwig Maximilian Universitat Hospital, Munich, Germany, for intensive care for her ovarian cancer. After several operations, she passed away on May 22nd in the same year. Her body was sent back to Jakarta and buried in the Kalibata National Heroes Cemetery on May 25th in a military funeral ceremony conducted by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. Listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Luka Kusmawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome back, listener. Here is Focus, entitled Indonesia's Ranking Proves to be Worthy of Investment. After a long-awaited period, international rating agency Standard & Poor's has finally increased Indonesia's debt rating to be worthy of investment grade. Standard & Poor's improved Indonesia's long-term state debt this year from BB+ to BBB-. These improvements indicate that Indonesia is now an investment-worthy country. Quoted from Standard & Poor's official statement last Friday, Indonesia's debt rating upgrade is seen that the government has taken some steps to keep spending and revenue as effective as possible to stabilize state finance. Standard & Poor's considers the policy taken by the government of Indonesia to be quite appropriate despite the shocks caused by global trade. Standard & Poor's or S&P also estimates that the government's debt will be lower and the budget deficit will gradually decline. Standard & Poor's believe that the government's focus increases on realistic budgeting. The possibility is that future income shortage will widen the deficit. President Joko Widodo said that the success of Indonesia to get an investment rating from S&P proves better financial governance, because the achievement of these investment conditions shows the great confidence of the international world to the Indonesian economy amid the global economic uncertainty. President Joko Widodo at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base in East Jakarta before heading to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, last Saturday, confirmed that the better the financial governance of Indonesia is, the better its fiscal is. Indonesia has also better management. The international world sees the ease of doing business in Indonesia, which keeps improving and getting better. This appreciation from the rating agency also plays an important role in increasing the investment potentials in Indonesia. Based on the trust, many jobs will be available for the people as the cash flow and investment flows will enter to Indonesia. This is expected to lower the cost of government's debt so that it is more efficient and it provides greater fiscal space. In addition to this food investment rating, the political stability and security in Indonesia are also considered to be better. Therefore, the president believes that such condition should be able to add optimism to the economic growth. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that the investment grade given by international S&P proves that the government of Indonesia is able to maintain good financial governance and economic stability. Minister Mulyani at a press conference in Jakarta last Friday said that so far, the government has been trying to improve the nation's competitiveness through allocations in the state budget for infrastructure, education, and health spending, aimed at increasing investment in human resources. She also affirmed that S&P's rating upgrade gives international beliefs on the credibility of the management of the state budget, especially the efficient performance of state expenditures and improved revenues. That was Focus. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with News in Brief. I'm Dee Nugraha. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo received the visits of Swedish King Carl XVI Gustaf and Queen Silvia at Bogor Palace on Monday, May 22nd. In the spirit of welcoming the holy months of Ramadan 1438 Hijriah, Dompet Duafa held a Ramadan Tarhib event on Sunday, May 21st. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has appreciated ratings agency Standard & Poor's or S&P for raising Indonesia's credit rating last weekend. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism aims to develop digital tourism and village homestays, as well as reforms the industry to become Indonesia's leading sector and economic core, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said on Saturday, May 20th. Indonesian Trade Minister has called for food stability task forces operating in the regions to take strict action against the hoarding of staple foods that may occur ahead of the Ramadan fasting month. A power-generating vessel ordered by the state-owned utility company PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara or PLN with a capacity of 240 megawatts has arrived in Belawan, North Sumatra. The last item. Winners of the Morotai Underwater Photo Contest held in Morotai North Maluku last week were announced on Sunday, May 21st. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dee Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of
Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listen to the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan. Takashi Kawai from Japan. Akio Uemura from Japan. Prithviraj Purkayastha from India. Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India. Adita Pritika Subramanian from India. Titong Yang from China. Kong Lei from China. Chao Yanping from China. And Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism objects in Jember, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Nusa Barong or Nusa Barung Island is a small island in the south of Java Island. The island is located at the area of Puger Wetan Village, Puger Sub-District, Jember Regency, East Java. This island has 6,100 hectares wide. Its beach has white sand and clear blue ocean. But on the outer island of Indonesia, it has no fresh water. So, if you want to come to the island, we suggest you to bring enough fresh water. Listeners, Nusa Barong Island begins to attract attention of tourists. Its natural preservation has uniqueness and has its own characteristic in flora and ecosystem. The island has four ecosystems, namely beach, swamp, brackish, lowland forests. And its flora has 16 species of plants and 20 species of animals. To go to this outer island of Indonesia, visitors have to cross various seas.
Listeners, besides having the beauty of the nature, Nusa Barong Island has mystery story. Local people believe that the island is occupied by thousands of ghosts. Because of that, nobody dares to live on Nusa Barong Island. In the past, before the island became uninhabited, Nusa Barong has ever become economic support of Blambangan Kingdom. The island is a producer of sweetlessness. Economy of Blambangan Kingdom developed fast from results of sales of sweetlessness to Chinese traders. Eventually, politics on Nusa Barong Island also developed. Political development of Nusa Barong made the Dutch watch this island. Finally, in 1777, war broke on this island. The war caused 27 people killed. Since that time, the Dutch East India government banned trade and inlanders to visit Nusa Barong Island. In 1920, Nusa Barong Island is decided as natural conservation. Listeners, the beauty of nature with mystery, nuance, and history makes Nusa Barong Island be very worth being visited. That was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Nusa Barong Island in Jember, East Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invite you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Makan Siang, in English, Having Lunch. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Makan siang. Makan siang. In English, lunch. Tadi. Tadi. In English, just now. Makan. Makan. In English, to eat. Mengapa. Mengapa. In English, why? Makanan ringan. Makanan ringan. In English, snacks. Lapar. Lapar. In English, hungry. Ingin. Ingin. In English, to want. Tidak ada. Tidak ada. In English, nothing. Menemani. Menemani. In English, to accompany. Pekerjaan, pekerjaan, in English, job or work. Menyelesaikan, menyelesaikan, in English, to finish. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Makan Siang, or in English, Having Lunch. The conversation is between A, Anna, and B, Ani, at the office. A. Apakah kamu sudah makan siang? Apakah kamu sudah makan siang? In English, have you had lunch? B. Tadi saya makan sedikit makanan ringan. Tadi saya hanya makan sedikit makanan ringan. In English, I've just eaten a few snacks. A. Mengapa? Mengapa? In English, why? B. Perut saya lapar, ingin makan. Perut saya lapar, ingin makan. In English, I'm hungry and want to eat. Tapi tidak ada yang menemani saya makan. Tapi tidak ada yang menemani saya makan. In English, but there's nobody to accompany me to eat. Maukah kamu menemani saya makan siang? Maukah kamu menemani saya makan siang? In English, would you mind accompanying me to have lunch? A. Pekerjaan saya sudah selesai. Pekerjaan saya sudah selesai. In English, I have finished my work. Saya juga sudah lapar. Saya juga sudah lapar. In English, I'm also hungry. Jadi bisa menemani kamu makan siang. Jadi bisa menemani kamu makan siang. In English, so I should accompany you to have lunch. B. Baiklah, mari kita ke kantin. Baiklah, mari kita ke kantin. In English, alright, let's go to canteen. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again tomorrow with another topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you to Indonesian Kroncong songs sung by Ratna Listy. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Pantai Senggigi. Happy listening.
Pasir putih membentang.
Sungguh indah pemandangan.
Listener, you've just listened to the song entitled Pantai Senggigi. The song tells about a beach that is located in Malang Regency, was performed beautifully by a Kroncong singer, a TV drama player, as well as a presenter named Ratna Listy. Ratna Listy was born in Madiun on August 2, 1973, with the full name of Ratna Sulistyaningsih. Her career in the Indonesian entertainment industry began when Ratna Listy won the event of radio and television singing competition in East Java in 1989. Ratna Listy also has talent to dedicate pop songs or regional songs. This can be seen from several albums such as Obsesi in 1998, Azan in 2002, and Hitam dan Putih in 2006, Laras Pesisir in 2009, and Tresno Zaman SMP in 2016. Well, listener, before we continue to discuss about Ratna Listy, let's listen to the next song entitled Kroncong Kemayoran. Enjoy the song.
Kasih hati selalu dinanti melancong ke kota tua dengar keroncong hati gembira.
The song Keroncong Kemayoran was previously popularized by Helen Sparinga, Sundari Sukoco, and Hetikus Endang. But Ratnalisti dedicated the song with a different style. Listener, as already mentioned, being a singer was not the only activity of Ratnalisti in the Indonesia's entertainment world. She also played as a television drama player and master of ceremony in some on-air and off-air events. Although she loved the entertainment world, Ratnalisti, who was a graduate from the Faculty of Economy of Brawijaya University, also active in the business world, both the business of fuel distributor and event organizer. Listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Mawar Sekuntum and Pagi Hari by Ratnalisti. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.